The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to say something very controversial. It's going to get a lot of hate on this podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. My favorite guest by far is with me today, Amber, my wife.
Oh, you say that to everybody.
I don't, you know, because you listen. True. And there's only just a few people I bring on here. It's like Bernie, Tyler, Parker, Marshall, Chad, and you. Mm-hmm. That's the rotation, at least right now. And we answer your questions. You email me, grangersmithpodcast@gmail.com. I don't really enjoy podcasts that have a bunch of small talk at the beginning and finally get to the point later. So I'm going to get to the point.
Okay, let's go.
That's what we do on this podcast is we answer your questions. And I've got a bunch of them here. And you could ask me about anything. Really, it's been all over the map over the past 210-ish, 11, maybe this is 211 episodes. The first one, subject line says, Halloween as a Christian. That's interesting. Hey, Granger, I recently discovered your podcast, and I love listening and getting insight on questions that I feel most people can relate to. My question is this. What are your general thoughts around Halloween as a Christian? My husband and I grew up in a religious home where Halloween was not celebrated. No, excuse me. My husband grew up in a religious home where Halloween was not celebrated, no trick-or-treating and whatnot. I grew up the exact opposite. I did not grow up in a Christian home, but I am thankful with love and patience that my husband has brought me to the Lord. I have mixed feelings about Halloween now because I grew up doing all the Halloween things and I don't want our children to miss out. However, I do not agree with the root of Halloween, she says. Is a little dab of Halloween okay? Costumes and trick-or-treat or is a little too much? I feel like there is a gray area and I also feel like I am feeling convicted of something that I should just trust that conviction. I thought about a podcast that I listened to of yours where you talked about not conforming to what society thinks is normal, and it resonated with me around this topic. Thanks, Kaylee.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You got a good guest here, Kaylee. Amber could probably speak to this. And we're going to probably tell you, I'll let her talk. But I will say that the gray area that you're referring to can be filled in with your own conviction. And sometimes, in a lot of cases, your conviction is different than someone else's. I've used this example before, but I remember when I realized that college football was a sin for me. And I remember realizing that all at once, and I was convicted that my emotions were connected to college football.
It was becoming an idol in a sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Becoming an idol. And I knew that because at the end of the day, I could feel frustrated and emotionally drained if the Aggies lost, or I could feel like this extraordinary high and joy if the Aggies won. And it got to the point where I could look back on my day and go, why do I feel depressed? Everything's going good. It's a good day. Work's going good. Family's going. Why do I feel depressed? And I would go, oh, because at 11 a.m. the Aggies lost. And then the same could happen when they win. And I realized that those highs and lows were taking me in a way that was it was becoming an idol that was controlling my emotions. So I remember telling Chris, my tour manager, I said, dude, I'm gonna have to lay off of college football and not watch it and not follow it because it's becoming a sin for me. And he got offended. He was like, are you telling me me watching the Longhorns is a sin? And it's like, no, that's my conviction. And it's, you know, something like college football is non-moral. And so you shouldn't spiritualize non-moral things. But to me, if a non-moral thing becomes an idol, then it's a sin. Yeah. And that was my conviction, not his. I'll let him deal with his own convictions. And Halloween can be used as a little bit different than college football because of the evil associated with it. Mm-hmm. But it can be looked at in that same way as far as one family might think that Halloween is dressing up like a superhero or a Disney character or an army soldier or a football player. And they hang out with their nice little neighborhood and everyone like exchanges candy and they celebrate the fall and pumpkins and fallen leaves and, you know, things like that. And then there could be other families that it's like witchcraft and demons and ghosts and they celebrate that. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a big jump here. I know you have thoughts on this because we dealt with this last year, actually. Go ahead.
I do. And I'll be really honest. I still struggle a little bit with it. We had very, very strong convictions last year. We didn't do Halloween. I didn't go to my best friend's Halloween party, which is not celebrating anything demonic. We get together. We have a costume contest. We have fellowship with friends. And I told the kids we weren't going to go trick-or-treating. So I thought, well, then I can't go to this party. I can't tell them not to do something if I'm going to go do it. So I don't know why I felt that conviction last year, but we ended up having just some friends over, no costumes. Mm-hmm. We threw candy out in the woods. We called it the candy extravaganza and just had the kids go out and grab candy. And we just had fellowship with other people. You're going to get people that are all over the map on this. You're going to get people that say, they'll quote the Bible, have absolutely nothing to do with evil and darkness. You can't even like mingle with it because it is partly demonic. I mean, we'll walk by with trick-or-treating with the kids and there's like a demon hanging from a tree. So I really kind of still struggle with it. Do I think that our kids could do it innocently and go knock on doors and say hello to our neighbors and grab candy and dress up? Yeah. But are we mixing a little bit in if we're joining those other people out on the street who are dressing up as bloody demons and witches? I still struggle. So
let's answer her question directly on what she's asking, because she's asking, will my kids miss out, quote, that's what she said, quote, miss out on if they don't celebrate Halloween?
Okay. Our kids were pretty upset because they see it as something innocent. And even London, she was so sweet. She goes, I have an idea. We can knock on the door and we'll hand them a Bible verse. And then we could still dress up and enjoy it. And just that's just their sweet, innocent hearts. If you look at this as, will my children miss out? You have to look at everything else that could be considered sin. Will my children miss out? Well, we want our kids to miss out on certain things.
Yes.
And we want to be different than the world. And we're called to be set apart. So I feel like she said she's having a strong conviction about it. And mm-hmm. I think she should listen to it.
Yeah, I do too. I think Kaylee, you should skip Halloween this year.
Yeah.
Because that's your conviction.
And pray about it.
And do something like we did last year. Maybe do a candy extravaganza.
Or something fun at your house.
Our kids loved that,
by the
way.
They did. It was fun.
They loved it. And we had several families over that agreed with that.
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. What was good was we had different families that we hadn't fellowshipped with before because everyone else was trick-or-treating. So we got to have fellowship with new families, which was neat.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And then back to this year, we don't know. We don't really know what we're going to do, but we're up for an option on depending on our conviction, mm-hmm. right? And so I think, Kaylee, what you do now about Halloween doesn't have to be what you do every single year. I would say try to sit out on it and see what happens. I don't think your kids are going to miss out whatever you do. It's not up to them. They're not old enough to make their own decisions about things like that. So they're not going to miss out. our kids are not on screens right now mm-hmm. for the next year. Are they going to miss out? No, they think they will, mm-hmm. but we know that they won't.
Yeah.
So yeah, go for it. Go for skipping it. See what happens. Oh man. Sometimes I see these and I'm like, oh, do I want to? Do I want?
Do we want to go that?
Do I want to go? I don't even know what this is going to say, but it says heaven.
Okay.
Hey, Granger, I'm a longtime listener. I'm 24 years old. I'm a Christ follower. I live in Alabama. My dad passed away when I was 14 and he was a non-believer. Mm-hmm. I've come to peace with knowing that my father won't be in heaven to greet me when it's my time. My question is, can I pray for my father's peace and that he can go to heaven? Thank you for your podcast. It's helped me in so many ways. God bless you and your family. P.S. Say hey to Earl and ask Donnie if he's still parked out by the lake. Question comes from Tyler. And man, what a interesting question. And I will tell you that I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Amber probably knows that I have. Mm-hmm. And first of all, we know that no one will be in heaven that didn't trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. No one. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by Him. It's His own words. There is no way around that, and there's no substitution for that. In fact, He is the substitution for our sin and His ultimate sacrifice on the cross. That being said, we don't know ever for sure with clarity if someone is going to be in heaven or not, or hell or not. We don't know. We oftentimes have a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's not our place to know for sure or to declare it, because we don't necessarily know what happens in those last moments of someone's life. Okay. I'll leave that there. I'll just leave that on the table.
I agree with that.
The second thing is to your question, can I pray for my father's peace and that he can go to heaven? Okay, there's multi layers to that. First, I want to make sure that you're putting the oxygen mask on yourself first, and that doesn't become a distraction. I don't think it is, judging by your email, that I want to make sure that you know the gospel clearly, and I want to make sure that you're saved, and I want to make sure that you understand that heaven, first and foremost, the joy in heaven is going to be enjoying the presence of your Savior, the Creator. So everything that you loved about your father, everything you loved about anything that you've ever known, whether it's music or nature or a person, it's all of that is just a shadow of the existence of all of that stuff's Creator. So every music and piece of art and every beautiful things and every lovely thing that you've ever loved or trusted or enjoyed is just but a thought from the Creator Himself. So can you imagine being in His presence? I can't. I try to describe it and I can't. But you will be so overwhelmed by the presence of the gift giver, because we know how we've reacted to His gifts. How much more so will we react to the giver of those gifts and being able to enjoy Him in His full unveiled glory? Our faces are not veiled. We're seeing Him in His full brightness, in His full beauty. That's hard to comprehend, but we have to know that first and foremost, that is heaven.
Yeah.
I think we try to fill it with, will there be fishing? Will there mm-hmm. be... What I know that there's the roads are paved with gold, but will there also be dirt roads? You know, like we ask silly questions like that. We have to make sure that we always pad those silly questions with the idea that, well, first and foremost, we're going to be in the presence of our Creator. Okay. Got to say all that. And secondly, God, as we could barely comprehend an omnipresence, a being that's outside of space, time, and matter. Mm-hmm. Outside of all of that is something that we cannot begin to understand, but He does. We do know that He does. We can't understand how anything could be outside of time, space, and matter, but He is. And so, could you pray retrospectively for someone that's already died? We have to be careful with that. to make sure that we're not praying for someone salvation that never got it. So that's not what we're saying here. We're not saying, can I pray for someone that's in hell so that they can go to heaven? That doesn't happen. We know that. But can you pray retrospectively to a God outside of time and say, God, save my dad outside of time? If that's your will, let it be done. If not, let your will be done and your glory be known. But you know my heart. I wish dad is saved. Mm-hmm. I want dad to be saved. I don't think that's a complicated prayer, but I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with it as long as you understand where salvation comes from, mm-hmm. and what it takes to get to heaven, faith in Jesus, mm-hmm. his son, right? What do you got on this?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. We can never know for sure what happens in that final moment when they take their last breath and when the Lord meets them. So I have hope in that. I mean, we do know we're only saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. So if he was a non-believer and he was very adamant about that, then we don't know. But like I said, you don't know whenever Jesus comes what that moment looks like. So, and I agree with you. Yeah. God is outside of time, space, and matter. And that is something that just blows my mind to think about. Because you've actually talked about the retrospective prayers before. So it's something very interesting. And I can't tell you that we have all the answers. But like Granger said, I don't think that it's wrong for you to pray.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't become a distraction.
Yeah, or yeah.
We know this too about hell. We know that whoever ends up in hell will not want to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's a strange thought. But There is nobody in hell saying, I wish I was with God.
Yeah.
Because all of those people will be with him.
Yeah.
All the people that truly desire to be with God will be. Mm-hmm. And the people that end up in hell will be resentful and unrepentant while in hell. They'll still be in rebellion. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting thought too. There will be nobody in hell repenting, saying, I'm so sorry. Please give me another chance. Mm-hmm. They won't.
Yeah.
They'll stay. I still don't believe you, God. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's a complicated topic. Before I jump into another one, let's take a break and be right back. Podcast is brought to y'all by BetterHelp. If you need somebody to talk to, like a therapist, and you've been wondering how to go about even finding one, and you've heard me talk about how therapy helped Amber and I, and you say, I don't even know where to start. Where do I find a therapist like this? Well, there's never been a better time to find one in 2023, no matter where you live, because of BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which is awesome, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and then switch therapist anytime at no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Granger today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Granger. You know what really helps me? I know a lot of y'all have read the book that have listened to this podcast. It really helps me if you review it. If you give me 5 stars and review it, it actually helps kick up that algorithm and helps it get in front of other people that might not normally have seen Like a River. So do that for me. It costs nothing to you, and it actually really, really helps me. Finally, if you want to get a hold of me, if you want me to send you a message, I say this a lot, cameo.com/Granger Smith. It's a really good way to do it. Or you can download the Cameo app and search for me, Granger Smith. You ask for whatever you want me to record, and I pull out my phone and do a video message specifically to you or to your son or your boyfriend or girlfriend or daughter or whatever it might be, a word of encouragement, happy birthday, happy anniversary, Merry Christmas. I could do it all, and I have done it all, and it's really easy. It's a great last-minute gift and something for someone that has everything. So cameo.com/Granger Smith. Back to the podcast. Back here on the podcast, I'm going to do something that I don't think I've done. I'm going to go way back. Hmm. In fact, I'm going to go all the way back to 2020.
Okay.
In fact, I have a folder that says Amber.
Oh.
And it's from 2020. It's okay. Like if something was related to you, I threw it in that folder.
Okay.
So we're going back on the podcast. And once again, if you want to email me, GrangerSmithPodcast@gmail.com. And I have thousands of these emails. And I try to go through them as systematically as I can. And but there's not really a rhyme or reason. So I hope that, I always hope I get to your question. But know that if I don't, it's still in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back and try to help some of these people out and go way back. I have no idea what I'm getting into.
Okay, great.
I have no idea. This one's going to be November 30th, 2020. And the subject line says, deep question for you or Amber.
Okay.
Hey, Granger, this is Josh from Cleburne, Texas. I love your music, your family, and your YouTube. I've seen you every time you've come to Billy Bob's, and I can't wait for you to come back with meet and greets so I can give you a challenge coin from my department. Yeah.
I wonder if you already got that.
Maybe so. To try and sum this up, my wife and I have been married for 12 years and have struggled for years to have kids. We've had two miscarriages and spent over $20,000 on IVF treatments to be told it was impossible. God has since blessed us with two beautiful miracles, but that is a testimony for a longer format if you are interested. I'm a man of God and I understand that I am supposed to let go of things. I don't understand and turn away from anger, but anytime I see people who had children by accident and don't appreciate it, or people who gave up on their kids or have had abortions, it angers me so much. I find difficulty in showing these people love. I thought it would be different once I had kids of my own, but it hasn't. How do I move past this anger and learn to love these people as some are very close friends or family? I love that you take these deep questions and give godly insight and advice. Thanks for all you do. Josh. Okay. Josh asked this in November of 2020. We didn't have MAV.
No, 2021.
Yeah. MAV. So no one even knew about MAV at this point.
Mm-mm. Wait, no one knew. What month was that?
November.
November. So I would have been newly pregnant. No, December. I got pregnant in December.
So no one, Josh didn't even know as he wrote this email 3 years ago that we were currently going through IVF as he wrote to us about IVF.
Yeah.
Which is interesting and probably the reason I never read it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I was like, oh, that one hits close to home.
Mm-hmm.
So I empathize, you know, it's like, I can't imagine going for years and years through miscarriages. You had just gone through a miscarriage as this guy wrote this email.
Yeah.
You had just gone through one a few months before this, just a couple months before. And then you're looking around and there's people just having babies like crazy.
Yeah.
And they're not even wanting to.
Yeah. It's a natural fleshly feeling to have those feelings. I remember feeling a little bit of this when we lost River. You know, you look around and you see people who treat their kids awful, it's terribly, beat them or neglect them, and they're fine. Their kids are fine. And so it's a natural feeling to have that little bit of, oh, I'm mad. I'm angry. Why do they get to have a son? Why do they get to keep their child and we didn't? And it truly came to me just surrendering everything to the Lord and trusting Him. And knowing that we live in a fallen world and bad things happen and God makes it rain on the just and the unjust at the same time. And we have to trust that He knows what He is doing and that He is God and we are not. And every situation is different. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. I know the pain of a miscarriage and what that feels like. But you're also blessed with two beautiful babies, I think it said. So my advice would be to draw near to the Lord and just to, I mean, our greatest commandments are to love God and love others and pray for our enemies. Pray for the Lord to remove that feeling, that spirit of anger, that spirit of bitterness from you, because that's holding you hostage in a way.
Yeah.
You can't walk in freedom if you're still holding resentment, even though you have been blessed by the Lord. I guess that would be my advice, is just to draw near to the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. You said the rain, or God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And that idea is called common grace.
Mm-hmm.
He gives a common grace to all people, even His enemies, even the people that reject Him. There's a common grace that everyone gets. And But through that common grace, we also know that he is providential and he always has a plan for his greater glory. Mm-hmm. So everything, every baby that happens by accident is not an accident. It's mm-hmm. providential and it's all working for a greater glory. Even when you see bad things happen or evil things happen, it's mm-hmm. all working for a greater glory. Yeah, I think you're right. I think learning who he is, mm-hmm. praying for, repenting for that,
yeah.
that anger you have towards those people, and praying that the Lord takes that away from you. Mm-hmm. Gratefulness for the kids you have. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
You want to go to another one of these old ones?
Sure.
Okay. Here's one from January 2021. Hey, Granger, my husband, Corey, loves your podcast and your music. He listens to your podcast religiously. We have a 9-month-old baby girl, and she finally started to bond with her daddy. But I know it's been kind of hard for him because for the longest time, the only person she wanted was me. Any tips for new parents on how to get through some of the hard stages of little ones, especially for dads when their little one only wants their mama? I love your show. God bless you and your family. Kaylee.
Okay. Well, you could speak into that.
Yeah.
It's a running joke in our house that Granger just goes, it's all right. They'll love me again when they're about 8 years old. Because they do. They cling to mommy. Mommy feeds them. Mommy, you know, mommy's their source of their sustenance. So you know all about that. I would leave the house. The kids would scream on the floor. We have so many videos. And you were just so patient through it all. And know that will change.
We have four kids that have done the same thing. They've loved mama for a long time. Mm-hmm. And London, our daughter, who's now 12, she finally really started loving me. Oh, what about 10 years old? 9 years old?
Maybe nine.
Like yeah. 9 years. 9 years of I'm just the guy in the house, like on the back burner. And there's all kinds of theories of that. Some people told me that's because your kids were never in daycare. And when kids go to daycare, they learn to share. And there's this idea, and I don't know if that's right or not, but I do know there's this idea that a kid cannot love two parents equally. They don't know yet how to share love.
They feel like they can't.
They feel like yeah. they can't. They feel like if they love daddy, then they're taking away love from mommy and they can't possibly love two people at the same time. There's that mm-hmm. theory. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's just got to play out and you just let kids, you love them and you continue to pursue them. You like to say that yeah. word, pursue them, especially with the girls. And is that what this is? We're talking about a girl here?
Yes, I think
yeah,
so.
Baby girl. Yeah, just continue to pursue her as a dad. And it's interesting that this question came in 2021. Because now she's like almost 3 years yeah. old. And that probably still hasn't changed for you, brother. It's probably still the same, Corey. And all you got to do is hang on for about 5 more years. And it finally starts evening out. If you just keep pursuing her, keep loving her. And then by my fourth child, I was pretty good at the patience of it. Like when I didn't take offense to it.
Didn't hurt your feelings.
Didn't hurt yeah. my feelings. They're like, Mama, I want Mama to put me down. I want Mama to put... That's like a common phrase in our house. Yeah. I want Mama to put me down. I just got over it. And I was like, well, she's not. I am.
Well, you always said, because you were the guy, it's like the kids knew if Mommy was leaving, they had to be with Daddy.
Yeah. So I also represented...
he represented me going leaving. Somewhere or yeah. going to the store or working. So... Yeah, it wasn't. But now London feels so terrible. Granger shows her old videos of her like crying on the floor. And she's like, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I love you so much. Mm-hmm. So it'll flip. It'll turn.
And Lincoln, he only wants me to throw the football with him all day long now. Mm-hmm. And we're about to go on a trip tomorrow. Just a guy's trip tomorrow for all weekend. So.
And I will say one more thing. With Maverick, he's a little bit different. He now only wants Daddy to put him down. So if yeah. we say, do you want Mommy or Daddy? He goes, Daddy down, Daddy down. So he's only two. So maybe it won't always be that way.
Very interesting. And a good question. Maybe this one. Let's see. You want to stick with these old ones? It's what? Kind of interesting.
This is your podcast.
Hey there, Granger and Amber. My name is Riley. I'm 18, living in Indiana, I've been a fan of your music for a long time now and your beautiful family, yet somehow I only just now realized you have a podcast, and I've listened to a few episodes now and I love it. I was wondering what your take is on this issue I've been dealing with. Freshman year of high school, I met this girl in English class who I've only over time I've become more and more crazy about. Mind you, before high school, I didn't want anything to do with relationships because no one ever seemed to be worth my time, and I knew that if I had a relationship with someone, I wanted it to be serious, not just for kicks. But this girl changed that. She made me feel a different way about the possibility of being with someone, and she really is that kind of girl that you want to buy a ring for. Fast forward 4 years, and I'm still absolutely crazy about her, and I've been in and out of touch with her. I'm not really good at talking to women. I have told her how I felt before, but I think that it was too much for her at the time, which I regret. Last thing I ever want to be is uncomfortable with her. We've been texting since last October, now and then, and many times I thought that she was interested. Lately, she's been a little more distant, and I think that's because she's very focused on her future and all that kind of stuff. I have been as well. She's very Christian and has a great head on her shoulders. And like I said, she's just the kind of girl you want to buy a ring for someday. I just don't know what to do. I don't know if I should ask her if she's interested or just let it go and see what happens. I don't want to repeat what I did before and saying too much too soon. I've tried asking her to hang out a few times, but with my luck, she's been out of town for some soccer training camps each time I've asked her. I'm not sure if I'm making total sense here, and there's so many more details I've left out, but I hope you get the idea. I'm just a young and dumb 18-year-old guy who thinks that I have found the one, but it's probably just the race fuel that I'm always inhaling at the track. I appreciate if you read this, Riley. Okay. Riley, long question, simple answer. Go ahead.
Move on.
Yeah.
Move on, buddy. I hate to just be so blunt, but even at 18, if a girl likes you, she's going to make time. She's going to want to hang out. And I feel like you said you've been going back and forth for over 4 years, maybe. Is that since middle school, or is that out of high school into college? He's only 18 now.
He's 18 now. So that goes back to middle school. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you are maybe in the friend zone, or I just think she would have, if she was really interested in getting together, you guys would have done it by now. And I know that's hard to hear. And would you say the same thing?
Yeah. It's not a mystery, buddy. She's not into you. It's not that you have said, it's not like she would be into you, but you kind of messed up a few things that you said, because she would have seen through that and been like, I'm really interested in this guy, and he hasn't said the right things, but I'm interested in him. That hasn't happened. Like you said, it's time to move on. Just because she's the kind of girl to buy a ring for, cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean she's the one that you're going to buy a ring for. There's lots of girls you'll meet along the way and go, that's a good girl to buy a ring for. But that doesn't mean your girl.
Yeah.
So there will be another one. There'll be lots of girls that you could buy rings for. Pick another one that likes you and then buy a ring for her.
Yeah. And just because she's not into you doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It just is probably not a good match. That's all.
Absolutely. Here's one. This subject line says, read me, you won't regret it.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Hey, Granger, please don't share my name. So this question is crazy, and I'm going to get right into it. My mother-in-law had an 8-year affair with her husband's best friend. My husband, her son, caught her numerous times, and she lied to him. It destroyed him. This was years ago, and I still feel resentment towards her for this. How would you go about this situation? How do I forgive her? I've tried so hard. She hasn't properly handled him. Heal. I'm always thinking about asking you this because you and Amber's advice is always the best. Much love to you and your beautiful family. Okay, so how do I forgive? That's the question.
I don't know that our advice is always the best, but thank you. So this is the wife of the husband.
I'm regretting reading this. I'm kidding.
This is the wife of the husband whose mom had the affair.
Yes.
And her husband, she's upset because her husband wasn't able to properly grieve.
That's correct.
And how old do you think they are? Does that matter?
No, it probably doesn't matter. The mother-in-law had an affair for 8 years with her husband's best friend. And the husband of the emailer caught her numerous times. That is strange, first of all. To catch your mother? What does that even mean? I'm not sure. That's crazy.
That's terrible. I'm sorry that your mom had an affair.
And you caught her multiple times.
Granger and I always say we're not surprised by anything anymore when people aren't walking with Christ.
Yeah.
It's sin, and it's awful to cheat on your spouse, and it affects the kids. But if she's not walking with the Lord, you can't, I don't know. I was just talking about forgiveness. You have to forgive her. Jesus calls us to forgive because he has forgiven us. And so that will free you. You're obviously holding up a bunch of resentment and anger.
It's done. It's over.
It's over, you know. And just communicate with her. And maybe she didn't handle it the best way. People don't always do the right thing. They don't always handle things the way that they should. But we need to have grace and forgiveness and maybe just a conversation. Sit down, have a conversation. Hopefully apologies can be made and you guys can build back your relationship.
It's going to start with that. It's going to start with forgiveness and kindness. And we've said before, forgiveness doesn't equal trust.
No.
It's not the same thing. Trust is earned. Forgiveness is a free gift. So you're going to give her forgiveness. Like, and your heart might disagree, but you just say it. You just go, I just want to tell you, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And your heart's screaming, I don't. But there's something about speaking it and your heart following, because you know that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. There's something to that, and it doesn't mean trust. So don't think now you trust her and she's perfect now and she's no longer a sinner, whatever. You are too, by the way. But this is also the grandmother of your children.
Yeah.
And I've seen this play out before. We know a family this same thing played out with. And eventually you have to reconcile, you have to forgive, just for the sake of your kids having a grandmother again, because she's going to get old and that thing's going to get farther and farther into the past. And your kids just want to hang out with grandma sometimes and make chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. And so if you hold this grudge over her head and say, I can't forgive her, I'm still angry, then it's becoming generational. It's just going into the grandkids now.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
No. And I would say if your husband hasn't been able to properly heal, maybe some biblical counseling might help to walk him through the pain that he endured. You know, going through that as a child, I can imagine is hard. So maybe you guys go to counseling together. Go to counseling maybe with your mom and see if an outside party could help you guys work through this.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, let's stick with let's do one more out of this, the old folder.
The archives.
Here's one from 2021 saying, how is your family doing with the pregnancy issue, Granger? I don't know what that means, but Mav was probably in your belly when that was written. We'll skip that one.
We're doing great. He's driving around on a tractor.
Here's one. No subject. It says, hey, Granger, my question is, have you or anyone in your family ever suffered or is suffering from alcohol or drug addiction? If so, what is it like? What is being done to take care of it? And do you support groups that are in recovery or even know about these groups? Interesting and vague question.
Yes.
I wonder why that question came in. Can you even speculate on why that question was written like that?
Yeah. I mean, they're probably dealing with all those things. Yeah. I've been vague about it. People in my family have struggled with addiction and have been, you know, in and out of rehabs, in and out of incarceration. Do I support programs? Yeah, I support programs that truly help people. But I think a lot of those programs lead you to find a higher power, mm-hmm. or lead you to think you can do it all yourself. And you can't. You can't do it without Jesus. And so I think these programs kind of help you get on the right track. But then when you slip again, you fall right back down into that deep, dark hole. And you truly can do nothing apart from a relationship, a true relationship with Christ, not some higher power, not the universe, not yourself. It's only in the power of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard when you go, when you have a family member stuck in addiction, because you can't help them. And there's a fine line of walking with them and help and being there for them and not enabling them. So
right.
That's, we've walked through this. It's tricky. It's hard. And you do need community around you. So I don't know if that's something that that person is writing in about.
I don't know why they're writing it, but I do. I'm going to say something very controversial. It's going to get a lot of hate on this podcast, but I'll just say it. I am against AA because of what they stand for, because they're talking about seeking a higher power, all faith seeking a higher power. We know that no matter what faith you come from, there is no faith of the Abrahamic religions, especially. There's no faith that says that all faiths work. So that's a problem in itself right away. But what AA is hiding behind when they say higher power is really, like you said, they are hiding behind the need for you to fix yourself, for you to find strength in yourself, to forgive yourself, to build up yourself. And there are huge problems with the entire concept of trying to forgive yourself. It doesn't exist, and it's ridiculous. And I've done a lot of speaking about this, and it requires an entire podcast just for itself. The idea of forgiving yourself. People are typing right now, like typing, Granger, you're wrong. You have to forgive. Well, I could tell you from experience, from suffering myself through extreme guilt and shame of losing a son and being the responsible adult supervising the loss of my son. I could tell you firsthand that forgiving yourself pretty much, it came close to killing me. The attempt to forgive myself pretty much would have killed me.
If I had
seen it all the way through. And I think it continues to kill people through suicide, because the world tells them, including AA, that you just need to forgive yourself. You need to, and people are serious. People are mad at me right now because I've seen it before.
Because people will say that they've gone through it and it works and it's helped them. And
they'll say that I don't know the steps. Yeah. I've never taught. I have. I know the steps. and I know that it inherently is, it's wrong. You don't have to agree with me.
No, I just don't have to agree. I've seen people that have gone through it, and you know, they get their coins and it is hopeful and positive. And there are good steps, like reaching out to people that you've wronged and asking for forgiveness. There are good steps, and I'm sure there are many people that it has worked for, but I'm sure there are many, many more that it hasn't worked for. I will tell you one thing that needs to change is all of the treatment facilities, all of the places for people to go when they're sick and fighting these addictions are so expensive. No normal family can pay for these things. So I think it keeps people stuck in this addiction because they're like, well, I can't afford this.
Is the root problem of all of this is a failure of the proper administration of a local church. This should be all taken care of with a proper administration of a local church functioning as it is supposed to function, but it doesn't for the most part. And so because it doesn't, people need to seek outside of the church for therapy and counseling and retreats and Alcoholics Anonymous and anything else secular and outside of the church to help them, because the church is failing in shepherding its flock. And the gospel is what saves. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I have offended people, because there's people that are like, hey, Alcoholics Anonymous saved my dad or my husband or me. Or I know the steps and I'm better and I'm 15 years sober because of it. And I say, was it because of that or something else? Something to think about. We'll leave it at that. Love you guys. We'll see you next Monday. Yee yee. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. If you have a question for me that you would like me to answer, email grangersmithpodcast@gmail.com. Yee yee.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.